Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are at. Well, for me right now, it's sometime later morning, and it's September 3rd, Thursday. The sun is definitely out, and we just had a lovely walk around the neighborhood, and life is fairly placid around here. What I mean by that is uneventful. There's not a lot going on, yet there's a lot going on. And maybe it's like that where you are too. I think I said maybe even last week, one of the things I love about recording these is that I never really know what's going to come through. So these are definitely not premeditated, preconceived, or written out or anything like that. They are just me and you. And in fact, I was thinking about that this morning. Just me and you. It quite reminds me of our alone time with God. Emily Cady, one of the first Unity writers, H. Emily Cady, she called it waiting on God. You know, we talk to the divine and we wait for an answer. Sometimes it seems like we wait our whole lifetime. And in the Course in Miracles, it talks about the voice for God, which is the Holy Spirit, but never the voice of God. For God is eternal, formless, without any kind of interaction with human beings in the way that we could perhaps perceive. And how do you feel about that? Good, bad, right, wrong, accurate, inaccurate. However it is, the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, does speak to us and tells us so many things. So this morning, as far as earth time goes and human space goes and the experience that I had walking today and the sun just where it's at, and the temperature of it, which is not, actually, it's not even very warm. It's a little bit on the cooler side. And this is that time of year where for me, it's fall, but for me, for some reason, Halloween always sort of telegraphs and says, something auspicious is happening. And I don't know what that is, but it's been with me for many years where just about September, I start to realize everything's changing. The weather's changing. The summer's going to go away and turn into fall. And then soon winter will be here. And what a strange time here in 2020 that winter is to be. We have our presidential elections here in America. And what a big one it is this time around. Even though we probably say that every 4 years. And we've got the whole thing with the state of the world right now through this pandemic and all of the things that have changed in just really about 6 months, if you think about how much has changed. And I don't know for you, but my experience has been very much that nobody really knows exactly what to do. And sometimes that feels like I don't know exactly what to do or what I am doing. And yet I know that something much bigger than me is underway. And so we look again at the biggest conspiracy ever. And that is that the universe is conspiring in our favor. That no matter what seems to happen, no matter all the upheaval, no matter what war, no matter what fighting or what chaos, all of it happens in the energy of pure creation. And that energy is goodness. We can use it how we will. And we can make whatever we want with that energy. But the energy itself is benevolent. pure giving is its nature. Its one answer to every question is yes. So together we contemplate these things, all the unsureness of this moment, of this time in our history. And we look back and see, just in the lifetime that you've known, since you were young, and have your first few memories, and the different presidents of the United States that have been in their offices for however long they are, and the different wars that you've been through, and the different, what do they call them? You know, the government things, when things get all crazy and scandals and all that kind of stuff. And you think about all those. I can think of Bill Clinton and that whole thing that happened. And it seemed like such a big deal at the time. And everybody really, really was interested in hearing about all that. And now it's nothing but a thing. The experiences of our life, what it was like in our youth growing up, and what it was like going through schooling of the various sorts, what high school was like, your first love, your first heartbreak, your first career, whatever it is. You look at all your own life's events and see that they too were passing things that at the time were very important to us. But ultimately, they had their lifespan and they had their sort of death, where that thing no longer was what we did anymore. And so we come into this place now, as the song says, we come into a healing time. And the healing is always the realization of our wholeness, of our oneness. The healing, no matter the physical condition or the emotional condition, the healing always happens when that voice for God whispers to us in the depth of our soul, I've got you. I will take care of you. I am taking care of you right now. And you have everything you need, regardless of what outward appearances might say. Regardless of what news might say, other people might say, regardless of anything that happens in the external world, when we are listening deep in the silence of our own soul, don't the answers always come? And the answer is always timeless, without borders, without limitations, inclusive, kind, compassionate. And oftentimes, disruptive in the most beneficial of ways. Contemplate with me for a moment about that. When we have a process, maybe a thought process or a process in the physical world that we go through, and it might just be a day, how we wake up in the morning, how we experience our afternoon, and then our evening, and then how we go to bed at night. When we have a process that is debilitating in some way, perhaps it is a process of doubting everything, of suspicion. Perhaps it is a process of sadness or depression or deep fear. Don't we so want that process disrupted? And so the still small voice within will often tell us, you must let go of that. And we usually complain and say, who would I be without that? Who would I be without my habit, whatever that habit may be? And Spirit always says, I've got something so much more wonderful to show you if you'll just let go. But hold on as long as you will. I will not interrupt you. But when we ask, please help me with this. Please heal this. Please take this. Then the disruption comes. And we enter into that little struggle we talked about last week between who we think we are and our higher self, who we truly are, who is calling us forward, calling us onward and upward to realize the deeper truth of our eternal nature. And so just as this still small voice can be disruptive with these seemingly negative emotions, feelings, and ways of being, also sometimes we get complacent and we appear to be happy and we say that we are happy, yet sometimes, as my friend used to say, there's a rumbling in the cellar. Everything's just fine upstairs, but down below, there's something in there that wants released. And so the disruption comes in our complacency. It's that old thing by Henry David Thoreau, where he said that many live lives of quiet desperation. In fact, he said, most men live lives of quiet desperation. But I think what he meant is that most people do. Quiet desperation, where we pretend like good enough is good enough. And perhaps it is. When we bring these things to light and really look at ourselves in a deeper sense as eternal beings, as souls inhabiting a body for a time, a temporary time, and as spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual laws, we begin to open up a greater potential that is hidden away within us. And that energy naturally wants to expand. So here we come to the point of contemplation, contemplative prayer, meditation, however you'd like to look at it or term it. And in order to do that, our bodies become a great instrument. And so we begin to finely tune them. So with that, we begin to notice the state of our physical body. We'll start with the most gross part first, the densest part, the most manifest part, the physicalness of our being. And so however it is that you are situated for your meditation, and if you're just beginning and you're listening to this and you're trying to learn to meditate, always just sit in a most comfortable position where your joints can be opened. So in other words, not crossed if your legs are crossed or whatever. Both feet flat on the floor. And then bring a feeling of openness into your lower abdomen. Sometimes it can feel like the hips relax, even like the guts relax. And then bring all of your awareness into your lower back, your sacral area. And just intuit the energy there. Sense it, feel it. And begin to invite it upwards through the spine. And you'll naturally probably sit up a little taller, or at least in your mind's eye, you will see an internal rising up. And then we go to the heart center. Like, imagine pulling energy from your sacral area to your heart center. So you may notice that that energy is still definitely connected. It doesn't all come up, but it begins to rise. And with that, power begins to rise. Spiritual power, awareness. Sometimes we need to rest here in the heart, wait here in the heart, wait on God from right here. The heart also is a receptor and a transmitter. And so in that way, it's always sending and receiving information. And this is the natural way of communication for human beings. It's how we intuit the world around us and each other in a feeling sort of way. So here in the heart, we may make a simple intention. No negative energy may pass here. I send and receive only divine love. And then we know that we are protected. Just that simple. And so it feels safer to expand through the heart. Now that you're expanded, you can feel the energy coming from the sacral area to the heart. And then as you move it up the spine through the back of the neck into the brain, bring it now to your spiritual eye, at the point between the eyebrows, and slightly lift your gaze until you see a beautiful purple presence. Now take a moment to keenly focus on that presence while breathing up the left side of your spine and down the right side. So just with the mind's eye, watch the inhale come up the left side, crest, and with the exhale, watch it descend down the right side. And then gently let the two merge into one until you're breathing in the center and out the center. And if you're not already, deeply attend to your breath, watching it with every faculty of observation that you have. Notice that it's doing what it's doing all on its own. And then we add our simple little mantra. As you inhale, God is. And as you exhale, I am. God is. I am. as you continue your mantra deep inside in the depths of your being, bring your focus again to the spiritual eye. Into the presence. Hear your mantra fall into the background like a whisper. God is. I am. The focus now becomes laser sharp. And you may see something like a tunnel open up, purple or blue. Focus keenly on this, a single point. As if you were piercing the veil of delusion itself to see right into the mind of God. True communion here and now. God is. I am. Meditate with me here now for a little while. If you'd like to stay in your meditation, simply pause this recording and come back to it when you're done. And if you're ready, begin to reverse the flow of how we got into our deeper meditation by first bringing your awareness to your spiritual eye and then to your mind and brain. And then to the back of the neck, and then into the heart center. Notice its expanded state. And you can stay with us all day if you wish. And then back down again through the internal organs, feeling their aliveness, their vitality, and their perfection. And then into the sacrum. And then back to the breath, breathing through the center of the spine. Up the left side. And down the right side. And then back to the breath as a whole, just being aware of it. Feeling it in the body now more than in the spiritual eye. God is. I am. And now just notice the presence of your being, just as we did when we came into meditation. Your body, your physicalness, even your mind and the things that want to move around. But notice the greater expanded energy and the space within yourself. So this meditation today hasn't been strictly meditation, but a lot of contemplation. And it's sort of the journey that we all walk as we come to a greater contemplative practice. When we come to our sacred space, whether it's an altar or a chair or whatever it is, our mind is usually busy and moving with the things of the day. And so we go through this very similar process of letting the mind think instead of trying to stop it, but taking it to a higher place through contemplation of our true nature. Thank you so much for creating the space for us to be able to do this together, to commune in this way. It is such a gift and a blessing in my world. And I'm so grateful that you are taking the time for yourself to attempt to commune with the highest nature of your being, with your true self. Together we do what we could never do alone. And so we say a prayer in the most innocent way. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Om. Peace. Amen.